In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. From the opening of today's collect, Almighty God, you called Luke the physician, whose praise is in the Gospel, to be an evangelist and physician of the soul. In fact, we don't know for certain that Luke the evangelist was a physician. An early tradition claims that the author of the Gospel and the Acts of the Apostles was the Luke referred to by the writer of the Epistle to the Colossians as Luke the beloved physician. It's apparent, too, that the writer of Luke's Gospel had a particular interest in, and perhaps knowledge of, medical matters. From these slight clues springs the association between Luke and doctors and medicine. But whether or not the evangelist and the doctor were the same man, there is a long-standing connection between the practice of religion and the practice of medicine, which makes the calling of the doctor a proper subject for us to think about, especially with the Royal Surrey County Hospital on our doorstep. Honour physicians for their services, for the Lord created them, for their gift of healing comes from the Most High. The Lord created medicines out of the earth, and the sensible will not despise them. Those words come from the book Ecclesiasticus. So the first thing we have to say is that healing is a gift of God. God has endowed the natural world with resources for healing, and it is the task of the physician to use them with a sense of responsibility and for proper ends. Now that is all quite reasonable, setting aside for a moment the Christian belief that God is intimately involved in healing. Few members of the medical profession would dispute that theirs is a vocation rather than a trade, and that drugs and treatments must be employed responsibly. If, however, we're simply going to say that doctors have been given particular skills and that the resources are at hand for them to exercise those skills, we make a doctor indistinguishable from, for example, an architect or a farmer. No one is going to deny that architects and farmers are essential to the well-being of society. We need people who know how to make buildings and to cultivate the land. But the calling of a doctor is somehow of a different order. For to the doctor is committed an awesome power. Awesome because sometimes the doctor has to arbitrate between life and death. And this power is focused on an individual bearing the stamp of his or her creator, an individual who is looking for healing, for reassurance, for help, an individual who is looking, in some sense, for salvation. Jesus spoke of his ministry as a healing ministry. When the Pharisees and scribes complained that he ate and drank with tax collectors and sinners, his reply was that it is not those who were well who needed a physician, but those who were sick. He had come, he said, not to call the righteous, but to summon sinners to repentance. So he was using healing as a metaphor. Or was he? The Gospels record that Jesus' ministry was characterized by miracle, and that many of the miracles were healing miracles. If we're tempted in a skeptical age to brush aside these miracles as an embarrassing legacy of first century credulity, we have to reckon with the overwhelming evidence that Jesus himself believed them to be absolutely central to his ministry. When John the Baptist sent messengers to him to ask whether or not he was the Christ, Jesus, according to Luke, gave no straight answer, but referred the questioners to his healing miracles, through which the blind received their sight, the lame walked, lepers were cleansed, the deaf regained their hearing, the dead were raised up. To John, who must have known Isaiah's prophecies, that just such signs would accompany the coming of salvation, the message would have been plain enough. Sickness and death, fruits of a fallen creation, were being conquered. Our world is, in some respects anyway, a very different world from that in which Jesus and his disciples moved. We want to ask questions about these miracle stories, to which there are no easy answers. But there are two things we should lay hold on, each of which has something to say about the calling of the physician. First, in Jesus' ministry, healing encompasses the whole person, body and soul. Jesus was a good Jew, and in Jewish thought, the body is not to be despised as the prison of the soul or feared as the enemy of the spirit. The body is part of the essential person, not a mere container from which the spirit will escape with relief at death. The body is the medium through which we live out the life which God wills for each one of us. It is an inseparable part of our identity. For this reason, we handle the bodies of the dead with reverence and care. The body has a place in God's redemptive scheme of things, and when we speak of the resurrection of the body, we are bearing witness to that. Much follows. The Christian understanding of the significance of the body is, for example, a foundation stone of Christian ethics. The body is not merely a collection of cells, and the ways in which we use it have moral implications. Hence the topicality and the extreme intellectual difficulty of subjects such as stem cell research, euthanasia, drug abuse, and abortion. But it also means that those who are professionally involved with the health of the body and with the treatment of illness and disorder are playing their part in that restoration of human beings to the wholeness of life which God, in his infinite love, wills for them. The doctor may be, in part, a car mechanic, conscientiously attending to the worn-out components of our bodies. But he or she also has a function which is more akin to that of the priest, ministering to our spiritual needs. The second point follows on from that. Jesus constantly spoke of himself and acted as a servant. Those who share that ministry are also called to serve. In applying gifts of healing, the doctor is the servant of the patient. Now, this must be incredibly trying when the doctor is dealing with ungrateful, self-pitying, or rude patients. But Christ's humility and his willingness to submit to the claims which so many made upon him should be the pattern for the doctor too. Doctors are not called to dominate their patients, to exploit them, or to use them to satisfy mere scientific curiosity. They are called to serve them honestly, sacrificially, deploying such skills and such knowledge as God has entrusted to them. William Temple, who was Archbishop of Canterbury during the Second World War, described Christianity as the most materialistic of religions. What he meant, I think, was that far from deprecating the material world, Christians see within it infinite possibilities for doing the will of God. Matter, and that includes the human body, matter is not intrinsically evil. It is alive with the potential given it by the Creator. In releasing men and women to pursue these possibilities with full vigour of mind and body, the work of healing is, in a unique way, a part of the redemptive work of God and a contribution to the renewing of His creation. And so it is that, in the words of Ecclesiasticus, we should honour the physician, and most especially today, as we celebrate the feast of St. Luke, reputedly the beloved physician. Amen.